This podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops, The Breakdown of Law and Order, the story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. Save $5 when you pre-order your copy now at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at GraceCurleyShow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, 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 Grace Curley listeners. This is not Grace Curley. It's not Taylor Cormier. It is Aaron Chadbourne hosting the Grace Curley Show today as both Grace and Taylor enjoy their new bundles of joy. Joining me is Jared Diglio. Jared, like you're missing out on this maternity paternity leave.
Yeah, I know.
It's really a boondoggle. See, Massachusetts passes this like paid family leave, and now all of a sudden we can't find any radio hosts. No, I think it's great. I think it's great for both of them. Congratulations to Taylor. He posted pictures of his new baby daughter meeting her siblings yesterday. And looked like the kids liked the new baby. I don't know. What did you think, Taylor? I mean, Jared.
Yeah, I did get the sense that, yeah, they like their new baby sister. Yeah.
That's, I think, really exciting. So we're excited for Taylor. He'll be back next week. But we have a great show coming up for you today. RFK Jr. is currently on Capitol Hill testifying before Congress. We're going to be monitoring that, and we'll bring in cuts as they come up that are interesting. And you're welcome to join the show, 844-500-4242, or text Curley to 617-213-1066. And I want to start kind of on that RFK piece, but just more generally, Jared. One reason that I love that I don't work in Washington, D.C., and I'm not in the Trump administration is because I don't think I could go testify before Congress and like keep a straight face and not like lose it with like the ridiculousness of these questions and the like grandstanding from these people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, what? Like, I feel bad that he has to deal with, you know, well, it's Elizabeth Warren right now. So we're going to be pulling some of that, but like, I mean, could you imagine just having to listen to her shriek?
I mean, for the principle of, you know, the government being accountable, like the executive branch being accountable, the legislative branch, them being asked questions, like I'm fine with that. Like I like the oversight role of Congress, I'm totally fine with, and I'm glad that they have the hearings, but it's just devolved into people trying to, you know, score points and be on TV and stuff. Not really ask the hard questions. Like with Rand Paul questioning Anthony Fauci, that wasn't just to get on the news and to go viral. It was because like there were some real questions that needed to be asked.
Oh no, she tag teamed out. Now Bernie Sanders is subbed in. Oh my goodness.
Wow. We'll have to do that. But I mean, if you watched yesterday where Nigel Farage was here and you saw like the showboating going on there too, and even just like the disdain that people have for the United States when they're doing this questioning. And we got some cuts from Jamie Raskin and from Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine was the nominee to be vice president of the United States. And like the comments he makes it seem like the United States is the country he likes the least on the face of the planet. Like these people, and I just, if I were to have to testify in Washington, like I just couldn't do it. I couldn't like hold my tongue. I couldn't keep a straight. Nigel Farage did a good job, I thought, yesterday. I don't follow him that closely and whatever he's doing in the UK. But obviously the UK is not a place that values free speech. They are arresting people for tweets and memes, which speaking of memes, were you watching Trump overnight? So, Trump,
I was not.
Fresh back from being dead. Or being not dead, like from being accused of being dead and all of that. He spent the night memeing. Like, so he was sharing memes all night long. Part of it was going after Gavin Newsom. It had Gavin Newsom as this ridiculous kind of like a boxer fighting a punching bag in a very, we'll call it, effeminate manner. He posted a very, I thought, I thought, very funny portrayal of pencil neck Adam Schiff with a large pencil neck. So it was a video that shows Adam Schiff, and it's a real audio of him, but his we'll call it his neck has been a bit exaggerated. He reposted the Cracker Barrel meme that has it's an animation with Trump coming in and shaking hands with the old guy. It was just like Trump meeting all night long. And again, like, they're losing their minds. And of course, Gavin Newsom is trying to get in and make it a tete-a-tete. And so you have these things being like, oh, you can tell Gavin Newsom is really getting under his skin. Nobody is paying attention to Gavin Newsom. Nobody cares about Gavin Newsom. And so, like, part of the coverage here is that, you know, Trump and Newsom are having a meme war, but really, Trump is the GOAT when it comes to trolling online and when it comes to memeing. So, like, Gavin can try to play, but he's just trying to steal the spotlight. He did have one I thought was funny of Gavin Newsom speaking, and they used, I think, AI to superimpose a Trump 2028 hat onto Gavin Newsom. And you can tell that that's the type of stuff that's really getting under him. But what is Newsom going to do? They're just going to copy him. They're going to copy whatever it is he's doing. I did think that on a Gutfeld last night, one of the panelists made this comment that I thought was funny. And if you think the 2028 stuff was getting under Newsom's skin, I thought this suggestion was great. Cut 10.
Yes, the president died. He did. And then he resurrected in 2 days. You know what that means?
Said that.
You know what he means? You know what that means?
Yes.
He's been reborn.
Yes.
He can run for two more terms.
I think it's only a matter of time before Trump repeats that. That was the wrestler Tyrus, who appears on Fox and on Gutfeld. But he was saying, you know, like, if he died and he came back to life, well, he gets a fresh start. That's a rebirth. That's a new clock. I doubt it'll take long for Trump to repeat that. And you'll just see their heads explode. Oh, Trump thinks he can do two more terms. He's not going to leave. Like, we don't have free and fair elections. That's, you know, they're getting ready for it. So anyway, a lot of memes being shared by Trump, who they had been saying that he wasn't the one, that he was doing his truths because the punctuation was off, or the capitalization, or the phrasing wasn't how Trump would normally phrase it. I don't think there's any question that he's the one sharing the memes that have been posted all night. So glad to know that Trump is alive and well. He's hosting a dinner, I think, tonight in the Rose Garden on his new patio set. So I'm sure that will drive them crazy. I bet he'll be DJing as well. So DJ Trump is coming up. That should be fun to watch. But speaking of these hearings, so one of the hearings was with Nigel Farage. And this is how Jamie Raskin began. This is how he introduces, with Nigel Farage sitting right there. This is how Jamie Raskin, again, these people are showboating, but this is how he begins. Cut 6.
There is a free speech crisis in America today, but there's no free speech crisis in Britain. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has not shut down GB News, where Mr. Farage has his own show, just because Mr. Farage has used his airtime to call for banning peaceful protests that he disagrees with. No one has stopped him from going on Russian TV 17 times and saying also and repeating that the one world political leader he most admired was Vladimir Putin, even though Vladimir Putin is a war criminal and a dictator who has regularly interfered in other countries' democratic elections. No one has stopped Mr. Farage from parroting Putin's absurd talking points, like when Farage claimed that NATO, the US and Britain provoked this war in Ukraine. For a man who fashions himself as some kind of a free speech martyr, Mr. Farage seems most at home with the autocrats and dictators of the world who are crushing freedom on earth.
So this is Jamie Raskin, who you'll remember was one of the House managers for the Trump impeachment. He was weaponizing government and lawfare against Trump. He was happy to do it. Jamie Raskin, again, for the perfect phone call, Jamie Raskin is saying that, you know, UK should take a lesson from the US. We don't want to have the same free speech problems in the US that we have, but it's more free to be in the UK. In the UK, they just, like, literally just arrested a comedy writer for his tweets. That's the free speech that Jamie Raskin wants. Jamie Raskin wants the censorship. He wants himself to be able to be the one that decides what you get to say, what free speech looks like. And he just wants to slam people that he disagrees with. This is what he's saying. He's saying, oh yeah, he shouldn't be, you know, he hasn't been arrested, so he should be happy. And they should take a lesson from the United States that our speech is dangerous and they shouldn't go that way. That's what Jamie Raskin's essentially saying. They don't have free speech in the UK. We had to withdraw. We had a whole revolution and had to start a new country, and we had to pass a Bill of Rights to have the freedom of speech that we enjoy here in this country. And we have a situation where you have this visiting leader from another political party in another country who comes and he testifies before you. And this is Jamie Raskin trying to grab the grandstand and try to lecture him. Cut 7.
To the people of UK who think this Putin-loving free speech imposter and Trump sycophant will protect freedom in your country, come on over to America and see what Trump and MAGA are doing to destroy our freedom. Kidnap college students off the street, ban books from our libraries, militarize our police and unleash them against our communities, take over our universities, wreck our professional civil service, and turn the government into a money-making machine for Trump and his family. You might think twice before you let Mr. Farage make Britain great again. I yield back.
So Jamie Raskin decides to use this as basically a campaign speech against Nigel Farage to try to keep him out of power and out of office, which I think the people in the UK are as likely to take advice from Jamie Raskin as I don't even know. But Nigel Farage, he took a lot of incoming, and he was pretty good at giving it back, because they have that, you know, the prime minister's questions, the debate, like they don't actually like shy away from it there. And he was pretty engaged the whole time and kind of pushing back on people. We'll just take one cut of his, see how he dealt with Jamie Raskin. Cut 8.
I'm delighted to reacquaint with the charming Mr. Raskin. That was a delightful testimony you gave me earlier on. With your speech. But hey, that's fine. You can say what you like. I don't care. Because that's what free speech is. And in a sense, this has all been going wrong now for a couple of decades. We've kind of forgotten the Voltairean principles that we'll fight and defend to the death your right to say something that we fundamentally disagree with. That is the absolute foundation, if you think about it, of free speech, of democracy, of living in freedom. It's kind of why we fought 2 world wars at massive, massive cost. To defend that very principle for ourselves and for many, many others around the country.
See, that's how he handled it. He said, look, you hate me, that's fine, but this is what free speech is all about. It's actually the underpinning of a free society. I think he handled it really well. So I wish I thought I could be as deft as Nigel Farage was in handling those types of people. And he wasn't rattled. He just got great engaged with them, tried to interrupt them, he tried to get time, and he did a great job. And it was a pretty impressive thing. So there are a lot more cuts there. We could do a whole show just on what Nigel Farage did, but then we wouldn't get to everything else going on. So we'll get to RFK Jr. And also wait till you hear Tim Kaine, what he actually had to say when he was talking about the values and the underpinnings and where our rights come from. So we'll get into that. You know, it is fall. Fall is grilling season. And one of the things I like most about grilling, you never know if you're going to be grilling for yourself or if you're going to be entertaining, and it works well. Like this weekend, I have having a cookout for my birthday on Saturday, and we're going to have several people there. But oftentimes, when I'm grilling, it's just for myself. And so one of the great things that I love about Omaha Steaks is when you have them in the freezer, you can take out as much or as little as you want. It can be for one person. It can be for a party. And they have so much variety, from handcrafted steaks to delicious fall favorites. Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. Enjoy USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, cozy, convenient comfort meals, plus tailgating favorites like chicken wings, smash burgers, and big deli style franks. And now during their Red Hot Sale event, you can get 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code GRACE at checkout. I told you yesterday, Jared, my dad was away on that trip, and I had to let him know that his refrigerator died. His very first question was, well, what about my freezer? I don't want to lose my Omaha Steaks. Like, that's how much it is important to him, because it's a great thing to cook. It's great things to have. And you know, that was the first thing I ordered once he told me he was getting his new refrigerator installed yesterday. He's got a package of Omaha Steaks coming his way. And it's because it's so convenient to just have them on hand. He likes the sirloin tips. He also likes the burgers. They're just juicy. They're heartland quality food delivered right to your door. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Right now is the perfect time to stock up with the exceptional handcrafted flavor and convenience of Omaha Steaks. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. With five generations of uncompromising quality, Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Red Hot Sale event. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code GRACE at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code GRACE at checkout. See site for details. This is The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace. Thanks so much for being with us today. Did you hear the hot mic moment that was overheard with Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin? You wonder, like, what do they talk about when they're together? Hot mic heard them talking about and speculating about. Actually, in case you didn't hear it, we'll just go ahead and play it. Fox had it on this morning. Cut five.
They've got staying power as superpowers, and it could remain that way for decades to come, according to a hot mic moment about medical technology.
In the past, people rarely lived longer than 70 years. But today, they say that at 70, you are still a child.
Human organs can be continuously transplanted. The longer you live, the younger you become, and can even achieve immortality.
That is a fascinating, one-of-a-kind window into the world of two 72-year-old world leaders without term limits trying to game out, according to Xi's translator, how to live as long as 150 years old. Right.
Fascinating. I the fact they're talking about the continuous organ transplants, too, since we're not lab growing organs yet, I have to imagine they're talking about harvesting them from prisoners and other things. It's interesting. But that got me thinking, which brings us to today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. It's not too early to think about preseason maintenance on your Fisher plow. Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Massachusetts is your Fisher plow distributor. Fisher plows, spreaders, accessories, and parts to get you winter ready. Tux Trucks GMC.com. Okay, Jared, what is today's poll question and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is would you want to live to be 150?
You know, I've thought about it before because, like, no one wants to, like, think about dying or dying soon. But I think 150, I just don't think the quality of life is going to be there. Maybe for people that are born today, like, they could live to be 150 and maybe they'll have figured it out. But I think it's too long. So I'm going to say no.
70% of the audience agrees with you. They say no. 30% say yes.
Interesting. Where do you fall on it? Would you want to live to be 150?
You know, I've thought about it too. And, I am very curious as to what's going to happen, and I would like to see, for me now, over 100 years into the future. So I would tend to say, yeah, I kind of would, actually.
You would? So you're in the yes column.
I am in the yes column. However, it comes with a caveat. Am I Jimmy Carter for the last, 10 years of his life, for the last 30 to 40 of mine? Then no. But in a vacuum, yeah, I wouldn't mind living to be 150.
If you found yourself as a Jimmy Carter, like, creature, would you be, like, you know, telling your boy to grab a pillow? Is that?
Oh, only after I vote for Kamala Harris would I say that. But yes, that would be, son, you ever seen Old Yeller?
But this is what I said about Jimmy Carter at the time is, like, they said he was hanging on to vote for Kamala Harris. I was like, you're a Democrat voting in the South. Like, you can vote when you're dead. Like, that's actually how they do it more often. He didn't have to, like, hang on and go through that embarrassment. But I just think that, you know, I'm turning 42 on Saturday. And so another 108 years, that just seems excessive. Like, I don't think I'm going to be in great shape. maybe there will be medical advances, maybe that we can do the continuous human organ transplant and that can get you like youth and you know, drink the blood of children again. But like, no, like I can't imagine that I'm going to be in great shape when I'm 150 years old and that I'd want to, I don't know. I think I've seen enough. I think 100 years would be good. Maybe 110, 120, 150. I can't imagine that we're going to be in good shape at that point. 844-500-4242, the number on the Grace Curley Show. We'll take your calls when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Biden is hiding people and sucking the blood of children. No, I'm serious. That's...
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. 844-500-4242 is the number. You know, we were talking earlier about the testifying in front of Congress. Senator Tim Kaine, he was Hillary Clinton's choice to be vice president. She wanted him to be a heartbeat away from the presidency if her Russiagate hoax had worked and she had been installed as president. This is what he had to say about where our rights come from. Cut 12.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
There's a certain document, Jared, that I'm not sure that Tim Kaine is familiar with. I think it's called the Declaration of Independence. It was foundational to the founding of our country, the country that he sought to be the vice president of, that he currently represents in the United States Senate. And that Declaration of Independence begins that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that men are created equal and that they are, now forgive me for if I'm getting this wrong, but that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights.
That sounds like a Rand talk, Aaron.
I mean, do they not hear themselves, Jared? Or like what, like to compare the argument that like, no, rights have to come from the government and laws. They can't possibly come from nature. They can't come from God.
The Declaration of Independence, why that's a Rand. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Oh, that's Sharia law. Like Sharia law, like first of all, I wish they would criticize Sharia law like where it exists around the world rather than like celebrating it and telling us that we need to send our money and our values and really export it to them, our morality. Like what would they only tend to worry about it if it's American. If there's anything here that like is about freedom and rights, but his notice he said like the alternative is that the rights come from the government? Like what? I don't know. If anyone has a defense for what he was saying, give us a call, 844-500-4242. But to blame it and to say that like, oh yeah, like to say that the rights come from God, that they're somehow inherent to people, that they don't have to be created by government. No one has, like, there is no theory that is like taken seriously by Americans that says that your rights derive from the government. It's actually that we protect people from the government and we have to protect your rights. Laws enumerate them and laws will protect them, but they're not, that's not where the rights come from. Senator Tim Kaine, he spent too much time in Virginia. Ted Cruz clapped back at him. And I don't know if Ted Cruz had been planning to, or he just heard him, but let's take a little bit of his response to Tim Kaine. Cut 13.
So Senator Kaine said in this hearing that he found it a radical and dangerous notion that you would say our rights came from God and not from government. I just walked into the hearing as he was saying that, and I almost fell out of my chair. Because that radical and dangerous notion, in his words, is literally the founding principle upon which the United States of America was created. And if you do not believe me, and you made reference to this, Mr. Barnes, then you can believe perhaps the most prominent Virginian to ever serve Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator, not by government, not by the Democratic National Committee, but by God."
I mean, the fact that Jefferson is from Virginia, it didn't even occur to me that he's a Virginian as well as Tim Kaine is. But yet the fact that that was, it just makes it even more delicious, but that he didn't know, like, yes, they are dangerous and radical ideas. So dangerous and radical that they spawned a new country. It was a reason that we need to declare independence and go our separate way from Great Britain is because they didn't come from the king. They weren't inherent to the government. It belonged to the people. It came from God. I just don't understand these people. I don't understand what they're doing. And that's why I think I would have such a difficult time if I were sitting in front of these people, not pointing out what an idiot he was and how un-American that statement is. Like, this is literally the foundational founding principle of the United States of America. And he calls it Sharia law. These people, like, you can't make it up. Like, to say that, oh, like, what are they going to say next? Like, we're not created equal. Equality is just a farce. Equality is something that only people in Iran would believe. Like, forget it. Like, I'm sick of hearing all of this soapbox. 844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to John. John, you're on the Grace Curley Show with Aaron Chadbourne. Go ahead.
So just a short, sentence. So on the 150 year old living.
Oh, on whether or not you'd want to live to 150 years. Yeah. What do you got to say?
Well, I'd like to, but it's not possible. So I'm a retired physician researcher. And so organ transplants generally last only about, if you're lucky, you'll get 7 years, if you're lucky. And then they have to be taken out and you have to get another donation. Because of the even if it's a good match, the match is never perfect. So there's always what's called rejection, and rejection entails just what it means. The body reacts against that for many complex technical reasons. So usually they give you a bunch of they give you immune suppressants like cyclosporin and things like to tap down the immune response. But that only lasts kidneys are the best. They can last quite a while, but it's not a great match. And on the other part, if you want to do organ culture in the laboratory, if you get the genes and you're able, with the technology now, you can easily take someone's genetic somatic cells and clone a liver, you know, and grow them in a dish and get them to the point where they're transplantable. So, but that doesn't work either. Though it works, but it's not a solution either, because what it does is usually about 35% of the time a cancer or solid, what they call a solid tumor, will occur because of the way the genetics are. A lot of what's called oncogenes turned on. And the other thing is something called telomeres, which are the ends of chromosomes, they shorten. So if you do clone something and you get it into somebody, what happens is the telomeres do not function properly, so they shorten them. So that's why we get old. Our chromosomes shorten. The telomeres are no longer very viable when we're 80, 90, whatever.
I agree with you. I think the science isn't there yet. I think it's crazy that they're thinking that it is. But, like, this is how these guys think. They're trying to think about, can I prolong my lives? Can I live forever? And I bet some billionaires are doing a lot of, like, experimental science stuff to try to extend it. So I think you're probably right that the science isn't there. But we're making, don't you think, John, that we're making a lot of scientific advances right now? So we're probably not that far away from some things that are going to extend people's lives, probably not to 150 yet. But, like, don't you think people are going to start living even longer?
Well, they're living longer now. Louis Pasteur and Darwin, one of the reasons they were so forceful in their research and their work, Louis Pasteur invented the vaccine and stuff like that. So a lot of them did that because they lost their whole families, not their wives probably, but their children all died under like 7 years old, 6 years old, because they didn't have. There's a certain percentage of the population that do not have an intact, what they call an intact immune system, upon birth. And so what happens is you're exposed to viruses, bacteria, so on and so forth. And what we could fight off quite easily, they couldn't fight off and they died. So you're exactly right. As the technology gets better, the immune system will be, that's what keeps us going. That's why like things like the messenger RNA shots are so detrimental, because we don't really fully understand all the ins and outs of the immune system. It's incredibly complex. It would fill, just a couple of aspects of the immune system would fill several encyclopedias. So basically what you're right. So what will happen is it'll get better and better as it's gotten better now. People yeah. are living longer and longer. But the problem is there's no real easy way out for what these guys refer to as organ replacements, organ changes. But all we can increase our lives to, you know, our people living to 100 fairly commonly, in their 90s. My mother was in terrible shape, and she almost hit 86, 87, and she just
see, that's the thing. If you're going to get the longevity, you want the good shape. Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, I think that's a good point, that I think that it's not quite there yet. You might want to be able to do it, but I think that there's a diminishing quality of life. But I don't think we're that far away from them improving it. So it could be a pipe dream. But this is the thing. These people, the people that are in power for life, like Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, like, and I also think, by the way, you know, they call it a hot mic moment. They intended for it to be overheard. They intended for it to be released. Part of it is just kind of psychological warfare on their people, is they want their people to think they're going to live forever, because they want their people to act like they're beholden to them forever, not to be planning for their successors, not for them to be thinking about what comes next. 508 says, Aaron, I would be okay with being 150 as long as my girlfriend could never be over 27. That's like the Leonardo DiCaprio argument, right? Also, another texter at 508 says they should be working on reincarnation instead. So, Jared, would it change your mind if they would transfer your consciousness into a new body?
So that, I actually recently read a book about this. It's called Immortality Incorporated. You can find it wherever you find books. They based the Emilio Estevez movie Free Jack off of it. But basically what it was is they proved the afterlife, and if you had enough money, you could... your like soul and consciousness could hang out on this switchboard until you found a donor, and then you could be put into a younger body. That seems interesting.
There's also a show.
You know, I'm leaning fully into this. Non-vampire styles. Let's go. Give me immortality. I want to live forever.
You're not drinking the blood like Biden, but you will.
No, not that.
You'll upgrade. If you can upgrade your body.
Yeah, exactly.
I still think that 150 years is too long. I don't think I need that much time. But maybe I think like when you get close to the end of the game,
I just
like,
want
to like, renew me.
I just want to be around in the 150 here so I can see the end of the Trump presidency.
Yeah, that is true.
It'll be termed 78 or something like that.
844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. You know, I want to get into some of these RFK Jr. cuts, but why don't we do it on the other side of the break? We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/TheGraceCurleyShow. This is The Grace Curley Show.
So RFK Jr., he is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. He's on Capitol Hill testifying. Let's take a couple cuts to see what he's telling them. We'll start at cut 17.
Yes, Senator, you know, this morning I got the latest numbers from CDC that 76.4% of Americans now have a chronic disease. This is stunning. When my uncle was president, it was 11%. 1950, it was 3%. Today, it's 76.4%. 8 out of 10 of our kids cannot qualify for military service. This is a national security issue. When my uncle was president, we spent zero on chronic disease. Today, we spend $1.3 trillion. It's the biggest cause, it's increasing. And all of the arguments that Republicans and Democrats have about single-payer Obamacare or with the various ways of allocating the health dollars, they're all like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. If we don't end this chronic disease, we are the sickest country in the world. That's why we have to fire people at CDC. They did not do their job. This was their job to keep us healthy.
Thank you.
And Mr. I need to fire some of those people to make sure this doesn't happen again.
I love that. I love that he's saying, look, we have bad outcomes in this country. So you want to talk about how much you love government. You want to talk about what a great job that we're doing. But right now we have the worst outcomes if you look at the health of American people. And if we're trying to have like a government focused on what they're meant to be doing, then shouldn't people be getting healthier? Shouldn't the health outcomes actually be better? Like, what a novel concept that you would fire the people who are either responsible or her, you know, fiddling as the Titanic is sinking. Let's try to get some of these back in for us. Here's one with Senator Michael Bennet, cut 18.
You just
are you saying, Senator,
moving,
are you,
the, moving the Titanic.
Senator, are you saying that a mRNA vaccine has never been associated with myocarditis or pericarditis in teenagers?
I am simply
is that what you're trying to tell us?
I am simply trying to say that the people that you have put on that panel after firing the entire...
You're evading the question.
No, I'm asking the questions here.
You're evading that question.
I'm asking the questions,
Mr.
Kennedy.
I asked you a question.
I'm asking the questions for Mr. Kennedy on behalf of parents and schools and teachers all over the United States of America who deserve so much better than your leadership. That's what this conversation is about,
Senator,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator, they deserve the truth, and that's what we're going to give them for the first time in the history of that agency.
Do you think, Jared, that Michael Bennet thinks if you just get louder and you shout, people are going to think you actually are making a point?
I think that's what they all think.
Like, he sounded so dumb and he had nothing to say. Like, he didn't even like say anything. He didn't land anything. He was just like, you are bad for America. And I'm going to say it loud. Like, it's just, I don't know. They just want to get, you know, clickbait. They want to be able to put something on their Instagram feed or on their TikTok. Let's see, were any of these other ones any good? Let's talk about, Senator Hassan. Let's see what she had to say. Cut 19.
The FDA, why you unilaterally changed the parameters for giving vaccines, making it possible now, to Senator Cassidy's colleagues' points, that they're going to have to go off-label.
This is crazy talk. To prescribe
a vaccine for children. I'm not making things up. Do you know how the FDA approval process works and what happens?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what an off-label prescription is?
I know exactly how it works.
So why behind closed doors?
It's not behind closed doors. The industry makes the studies, and they could not provide a study that said that it is effective for healthy kids.
So when have you produced the data that you relied on and that this FDA relied on to change those parameters? You did it behind closed doors.
No, the data is all public.
Now parents who decide that they do want their children to have COVID vaccine.
You're just making stuff up, Senator.
I'm not making stuff up.
You're just making stuff up.
You know, sometimes when you make an accusation, it's kind of a confession, Mr. Kennedy. So let's just settle with this. So here's what's going to happen. To Senator Warner's point, to the parents who are concerned all around the country, to people who want to get the COVID vaccine this fall, even if they're under 65, because the boosters have worked, there's been much less serious disease, people do not have the same level of threat and risk from COVID that they used to because of these vaccines. People who want to exercise their freedom of choice are being denied that. Because you are citing data that you won't produce to the public.
You're making things up to scare people, and it's a lie.
With respect, I do not think I'm the one making
you lying right now, Senator.
I take it back, Jared. I think that's exactly how I'd behave on Capitol Hill. I would just say to Maggie Hassan, like, you're making stuff up and you're a liar. I think great answer. Great answer. There's more with Elizabeth Warren, Sheldon Whitehouse, and others. We'll have more cuts from RFK Jr. when we come back, and we'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.